increased by that desire. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be led astray, my beloved brethren. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Temptation is not necessarily sin, but yielding to temptation, practicing that which we are tempted by, that results in sin, and that results in being separated from God. The verse goes on to say, dark passions subdue. We are enticed by dark passions. We're in a particular time of the year right now when dark things are kind of promoted, aren't they? You drive by some people's yards or places of business and you see skeletons or spooks or goblins or something. And I don't know. People like to get scared, I guess. Some infatuation with death. I don't understand it really. Halloween becoming more and more popular over the past several years. When I was a child, we had trick-or-treat, but nobody that I remember decorated their yard with blow-up things, and maybe we didn't have the technology, I don't know, but anyway, it's gotten out of hand, and it's promoted in a lot of things that there are some people that are more infatuated with the dark things of the spiritual world than they are the things of light. And I think some of these displays are a statement of where their loyalty lies and where their passions are, not in the things of light, but in the things of the darkness. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, we are told, do not love the world or the things in the world. It's basically, do not love worldliness. Do not love what you are carnally attracted to, the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, here he defines it as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The pride of life. Do you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with ever admitting that you're wrong? With really honestly examining yourself to see where your spiritual weaknesses are and admitting it? Because, well, I can't be wrong. Yeah, we can all be wrong. All of us have been wrong. All of us are wrong from time to time. He says, these things are of the world. These are not of the Father. The Father doesn't tempt us. We're drawn away of our own desires, whether it be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. These things are of the world. The world, he says, consider this. If you're attracted to these things, realize that the world is passing away and the lust of it. What you're attracted to, what's separating you from God, what's drawing you away from God, as much as you might enjoy those things or as much as you're attracted to it, he says those things are of this world. They're of the carnal sphere. They're not going to last forever. They're not going to endure. And if they're not going to endure, then there won't be any attraction to it as well. So why spend your energy and your thoughts on these things that are just designed to be temporary, temporal? But he who does the will of God abides forever. Because God abides forever, and his will abides forever. And if we abide within his will, he says, we will abide forever as well. The verse goes on to say, each victory will help you. That's what James was pointing out there in James chapter 1, that you can't help but be tempted, but don't yield to temptation. overcome the temptation, and as you overcome those temptations, you will become ever stronger. Fight manfully onward, the verse goes on to say. You can't help but think of Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 13, where he says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." You can't help but, you know, when you see those things that are of the darkness, be curious about those things. You know, people talk about witches, and people talk about spells, and people talk about dragons and, you know, evil things, and you can't help but be curious. People today come up with different games and so forth that you can supposedly play in these dark realms, and you might look at that and the art of it and be infatuated by it and be curious about it. Realize that you're being enticed into the darkness. You're curious, but you really don't know what you're getting into. Other than, you don't read about anything like that in the Bible that's put in a good light. Is that someplace Jesus would go? Is that something Jesus would tell you to investigate? Is that something you would see Jesus doing? We wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against these principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. That even sounds like something you'd read in a novel, doesn't it? Is that a fairy tale? No, this is real. The spiritual realm is real. Satan is real. He is really trying to separate your soul from God. He is really trying to separate your soul into hell eternal. We wrestle against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, but in this context, it's in the spiritual realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the day of temptation, and having done all, to stand, to continue to stand against the strategies of Satan. Stand against those places where he is wanting to take you. Fight manfully onward, the song says. Each victory will help you. You'll get stronger and stronger and stronger in using the Word of God and applying the Word of God to your situation in life. The second stanza encourages us to avoid temptations. Read with me. It says, "Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true." Sin is not inevitable. You don't have to sin. Just because you're tempted, and we're all tempted, and we all have sin, but we don't have to sin. Just because we have sin doesn't mean that we have to sin in the future. Sin is not inevitable. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 13 through 15 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Have you sinned? Shake your head this way. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of men. But no sin is unique to you. Other people have performed the exact same sin. No temptation is unique to you. Other people have been tempted by the exact same thing. That's what he's saying. These temptations will come, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God does not allow you, if you are a Christian, that's who he's speaking to, all spiritual gifts are in Christ Jesus, and this is one spiritual gift. If you are not in Christ, if you have not committed your life to Christ, if you've not been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, this blessing is not for you. This is a blessing for those who have turned from themselves to Christ to live for Christ instead of for themselves. There is a spiritual protection, umbrella, if you will, of protection placed over you. The temptations will come, just like it's predicted that it's going to be raining this afternoon or tonight or sometime, but well, whether it does or not, when it rains, we use an umbrella to do what? To keep the rain off of us. And umbrellas do a pretty good job. Temptations are going to come. Showers of temptations are going to come. God's promise is, God is faithful. You can trust God in this. Trustworthy. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Now, he doesn't say he's not going to allow you beyond to be tempted beyond what you would be tempted by or what is easy. He's going to allow us to be tempted, but will, with the temptation, also makes a way to escape. That way of escape is our knowledge of his will. You are tempted to gratify your lust. On the other hand, God is encouraging you to do his will, and you know it. When you're tempted, you know that you have a choice. I can gratify myself, or I can glorify God and do his will. Now, the wonderful thing about the choice to glorify God and do his will is that you feel much better about yourself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to live to the glory of God than to gratify the desires, the sinful desires of self. The wonderful thing about choosing the way of escape to do the will of God is that you gradually become aware of the fact that your will is becoming the will of God. That the more you practice the will of God to his glory, the more your will is to do his will, rather than your own will for gratifying the pride of life. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. We've been looking at idolatry a lot when we've been studying the judges and how that the children of Israel often turned to idolatry. And we know that covetousness is idolatry. What do we covet? We covet the world. We covet the desires of the flesh. And so whatever your particular lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of life might be, that's your idol that you've set up. He says, flee from that. Idols were made to justify the practice of those sins. I speak to wise men. Judge yourselves what I say. I'm speaking to people that know the difference between good and bad. Know the difference between your own desires, which are in alignment with the desires of Satan, and those who have aligned your will with the will of God. I speak to wise men who have received the words of wisdom. And he says, judge what I say. You know yourselves these things to be true, that every time you are tempted, you are also reminded of the word of God and the will of God. And you have a choice to make, and the choice is entirely yours. And when we choose to do the will of God, Jesus said, we display the fact that we love him. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. So the next time you're tempted, and you know that this doesn't look like where God would want me to go, I'm curious about it, I'm infatuated with it, there's a desire for me to do it, but God says don't do that. God says don't go there. In fact, this is what God says to do instead of that. Then also remember the words of Jesus. You say you love me, keep my commandments. Do my will. Let my will be your will. Sin is not inevitable. Psalms 1 and verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You know, it's not always that we go off into the practice of sin all by ourselves. Very often there are others who are encouraging us to participate with them in what they're doing. Well, look at what I found. Look at this book. Listen to what it says. Here's a game. I've had a lot of fun with it. Would you like to play this game with me? Well, what's it about? Well, about wizards and witches and spells and demons. I don't think Jesus would want me doing that. In fact, I know he doesn't. Sinners entice you, do not consent. Avoid evil companions, our the lyrics of our song says. Shun evil companions. Proverbs 4 and verses 14 and 15 says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. And pass on. So you can participate in it a little bit. Is that what this verse says? No. It says get as far away from it as you possibly can. Do not enter the path of the wicked. You might see the path of the wicked, but don't enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. I've already entered it. Well, don't keep walking on it. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Turn away from that way and don't return to it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 just simply says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Those who do not love the way of God, they love the way of darkness rather than the way of light. They are not going to encourage you to do good. They will corrupt you to practice their lifestyle. Oh, not me. It won't happen to me. What did it say? Do not be deceived. Yes, it will. And it has, hasn't it? If you think back and some of the sins you participated in, why did you do that? Well, because somebody wanted me to do that. Don't be deceived. Keep your company with the will of God. Our song says, bad language disdain. Hold God's name in reverence. Hold God in reverence and his name in reverence. James 1 and verse 26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If you can't bridle your tongue, everything else is useless. You might feel that you're right. Sometimes it's not the right time to say what is right. We need to be wise with our tongues and what we say and when we say it. The third chapter of James in verse 6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And I was preparing for this lesson, read this verse again, and of course, currently here in Warren County, I don't know if it'll be after today or not, but anyway, for several weeks now, we've been under a burn ban. Can't burn anything outside. This is a burn ban. Put your bridle on your tongue. Don't just say whatever's on your mind whenever you feel like saying it. Especially when you know it's going to trigger someone, it's going to set something on fire. A fire that is going to be difficult to put out, if it can be put out at all. But just as we're careful during dry seasons with outside fires, we need to realize we need to be careful with our tongue every day of our life. We are to engage in that which is righteous. James 1, verses 19 through 20 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be swift to hear the word of God, because that's what's going to prevent you from giving in to temptation. Be slow to speak. Be slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You might think that you have a righteous indignation, but it very well will not produce the righteousness of God. Be honest with yourself and be honest with others. Galatians 6 and verse 7, again, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Here's where the rubber kind of meets the road. Because we might say, well, I 90% do what is right. But there's this area of my life or this thing about me that's just the way I am. This is what I do, and this is the way I am. God's going to have to accept me the way I am. No, he doesn't. Especially if we have that attitude. Because that statement in and of itself is a statement of pride. So if we know that we are sowing that which is evil, then don't be surprised when we reap the separation from God that he said is going to result. Matthew 7 and verse 12 says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Kind-hearted all the time? Yes, kind-hearted all. Even when people are being mean to me? Yes, even when people are, and especially when people are being mean to you, you be kind-hearted and true. Because we don't overcome evil with evil, we overcome evil with good. The third stanza talks about our victory. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Revelation 21 and verse 7 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Yes, to them God gives a crown. James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them who love him." Through faith, we shall conquer, the song says. 1 John 5 and verse 4 teaches us, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, our practice of the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. Our Savior, our strength will renew." 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Yes, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he who is in you, Christ in you, is greater than he who is in the world. You can overcome Satan. And so then the chorus talks about that we do all of these things with the help of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation." The godly are tempted. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You don't have to give in to the temptation. He provides a way for you to escape. God knows how to deliver you out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Which are you? Are you the godly or the unjust? Hebrews 2 and verse 18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered," Christ has suffered, "he suffered for us because of our sin, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." When we're tempted, we can realize that Jesus was tempted. He was tested. He suffered. He made it, and we can make it too with his help. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "We have a high priest." We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He sympathizes with us. He will not excuse us, but he sympathizes with us. He will help us. We don't have to sin if we prove that we love him and do his will. Ask the Savior to help you. He is willing to aid you, comfort, keep you, and care for you. He will carry you through. So look ever to Jesus. As we said, be cautious because temptation is ahead. Just as it's been behind you, it's ahead of you in your life. It's coming up. Be cautious. But yield not to temptation. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, we'd encourage you to come as we sing this song.